Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Dr. Jerry is on the attack, liberty's friend and tyranny's foe. The heathen are raging and the battle for America is on. The devil beware, Dr. Scheidbach is on the air, deftly swinging the sword of the spirit, aimed at the heart of the dragon of lies, the prince of the power of the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Freedom Rally tomorrow, Grover Beach, on the corner of Grand Avenue and Oak Park. From 11 to 12, that's pretty early for me in my schedule, but I'll try to be there. Now, here's a picture of a guy kneeling on the neck of a baby while another guy pins the baby's arms behind his back. What? The accusation party is at it again, pulling a Kavanaugh on Tucker and other conservatives at Fox. Who is the accusation party? Well, you know the answer to that question. It's one the accuser likes so well. In the modern liberalism destroys everything it touches department. Spelling takes a hit. Yeah, and grammar too. We already lost the NFL, now we're losing the MLB, Major League Baseball. A Democrat's wife says parents should watch porn with their children, Stephanopoulos, yeah. I mean, it goes on and on, my friends. Everything touched by modern liberal ideology is destroyed, corrupted, including reasoned conversation. Pelosi led the charge to remove everything from the Hill that is associated with slavery in America's past. You heard about that, right? Well, I don't think Miss Gotta passed the bill before we could know what's in it. Thought that one through. And wait for that, too. Beto is bashing his governor, Governor Abbott. Wonder why. Don't believe the numbers, friends. They're trying to lie to us. It's proven. They are artificially inflating the numbers in order to support their fake hype. And the Twitter Nazis claim now that the Star of David is a hate symbol. Huh, here you go. Biden is under formal criminal investigation in the Ukraine. MSM responds with their usual crickets track. BLM Antifa in Portland present their demands. Well, I'm sure that's more than we'll have time to get into, and that's not even half of what is in my folder today, but it's enough to provide an invigorating brain massage. My friends, it's time.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
I'm looking at a picture of a man kneeling on the neck of a baby while another man is pinning that baby's arms behind its back. When my wife brought this video to my attention, I immediately cringed. And I thought, this must be staged. I watched the video and nearly retched. I thought, this reminds me of something. What is it? This feeling of anger and disgust. It's very familiar. Oh, I know. That's how I felt when I saw the video of the police officer who killed a man by kneeling on his neck while the man was complaining he couldn't breathe. Only, this is more disturbing. And why is this more disturbing? Well, isn't that obvious? It's a man kneeling on the neck of a baby! An innocent baby! What's going on here? You thought I was going to say it had something to do with the guy being black and the baby being white. I guess that makes a difference to some people. But all I see is a grown man with his knee on the neck of a baby. This is sick. And suddenly I'm reminded of the videos I've seen of Black Panthers preaching, I hate white people. I want to kill all white people. I want to kill white babies. I want to smash their white heads on the pavement. Yeah, these are the things that are said among some of these really crazy radical nut jobs. Some of you might remember that. About 5 or more videos surfaced showing these Black Panther members ranting about their hatred of white people. Suddenly, I'm reminded of a recent BLM march where the marchers were chanting, what do we want? Dead cops! What do we want? Dead cops! What do we want? Dead cops! And BLM. I'm reminded of the BLM purpose statement that presents their goals. First on the list, get rid of the nuclear family model. And from the list I saw, last on the list is get rid of God. Yeah, dethrone God. After I looked at this video and then the still picture taken from it for a little while, I begin to realize this is sick. And I also realize that the purpose of the video is to stoke the fires of racial hatred. Its purpose is to make you feel what these people imagine that blacks feel when they see a white cop kneeling on the neck of a black man. You see, they don't think we get it. They don't think we feel their pain. So they want to make us feel their pain. I mean, literally. They refuse to believe white folk have natural feeling. They refuse to believe white folk feel what they feel when they see a white cop kneeling on the neck of a black man. And they think that way because they are racist. I mean, in the current meaning of the word. Their worldview is entirely skewed by a set of assumptions that they have made about white people. At the risk of sounding like I'm excusing some of this, which I am not, let me tell you a personal story. And it begins like this. My daddy was born in Arkansas, and my mother was born in Alabama. My dad grew up in Texas, and my mom grew up in, well, she between Alabama and Georgia, about 6 months in each state. My dad's family moved to Georgia permanently later on, and that's where he met up with my mom. Now, I never heard my mother or my father say a single negative thing about black people. Not one time. I did not know about racism, didn't know it existed. I got out on my own at a very young age. My family moved to Florida and I stayed in California. Several years went by. I spent some time in the Army, got in college, and was not in regular contact with my two brothers and my two sisters. So after an elapse of some years, we finally got together. And I was shocked when I heard bitter racism coming from one of my sisters and from both my two brothers. I could not believe my ears. They spoke disparagingly of black people in generalized terms. I rebuked them. My sister and my next oldest brother told me that I just didn't understand. And they began to relate stories to me about their experiences in high school, about how they were treated by blacks in that public school where they attended, one after another, atrocious stories. And not just verbal assaults or insults and so on, but physical attacks. To survive in their environment, they had to band together with other whites and stay in groups. They were fearful for their lives to ever be alone on campus or on their way to and from school. It took a while, but they have all come out of that and realized that a particular gang had taken hold in their school, and not all the blacks in that school behaved that way. And not only was it the case that these thugs did not represent all blacks, but that in fact the vast majority of blacks in their community did not support what was going on in that school. So my point here is that our way of looking at things is greatly influenced by our personal experiences. And that's understandable. But it's also dangerous because our experience is limited and sometimes a negative experience can color our vision, no pun intended there, so we start seeing everybody a certain way. So we need to be instructed by principles and reason. We need to be willing to look past the narrow boundaries of our personal experiences and see the bigger picture. As long as my brother and sister were fixated on the personal experiences that were negative, their conclusions were skewed and they broadly applied them to everybody. But when they stepped back and looked at the bigger picture, well, they could see that they were wrong. You've heard of vicarious experiences, right? That's the sort of thing where you have an emotional and intellectual response to something that can be highly charged that happened to someone else that you either heard about or read about or witnessed. And it's odd, but it's true that these vicarious experiences can have greater impact on your worldview than personal experiences. We've all experienced someone taking up an offense on your behalf against someone else. You notice they're more angry at the person than you are. Many of our kids are being exposed vicariously to a carefully selected set of stories and experiences of others, and they are personalizing those experiences, internalizing them as if they are their own, and their reactions are often magnified. For example, when I see the video of this man kneeling on the neck of a baby, it's hard to even express in words what feelings rise up in my heart. And it's intensified by the fact that I can't do anything about it. It makes me angry and I want to do something, but I wasn't there. If I had been there, certainly I would have interfered with this wicked behavior. I would have stepped in. I would have said something. I would have used whatever force I had available to me to stop this atrocious behavior. I would take action, but because it's something that I experienced vicariously that provoked deep anger in my spirit, but something I couldn't do anything about, well, it gets intensely frustrating, doesn't it? Now, I'm more mature and I have understanding of these things, so I can process it, but you multiply that in the life of some child who grows up hearing, reading, and being told over and over and over again about white people oppressing, white people beating, white people mistreating blacks, and those stories would make anyone angry. And then add the lie, you know, the white people around you are beneficiaries of the treatment of these people, stuff like this, and they don't care about this history because, well, they're white, and so they do not and cannot relate to it like you do, and all this nonsense. And that's a lie, man. This is a humanity issue. It's not a black or white issue. These kids need to be told the stories and read about the stories and see the movies about the stories of white people who led the abolitionist movement here and around the world, by the way. They need to be told the stories of white people who themselves experience slavery and the stories of the white people who do not see the world as black and white, who see men and women and children. They need to hear, read, and see the movies about a guy like Daryl Davis, a black man who reached out to KKK members. What? And won something like 20 KKK members to quit the Democrat Klan. Yeah, it's a Democrat Klan. And send to him their robe and hood. Yeah, send it to Daryl as a token of their repudiation of the KKK. And then indirectly, Daryl is responsible for over 200 Democrat KKK members leaving the Klan. I reposted the story of Daryl on my Facebook page. Check it out. My point here is that what we're dealing with is the result of purposed indoctrination that's been going on in our public schools and media in this country for decades. Only lately is the truth beginning to come out about the Democrats, the slave party, the party that hated civil rights for blacks, who changed their strategy when they saw that they were losing politically and they were going to have to deal with blacks as a political force who were coming out in droves for the Republican Party. The Democrats who did not want blacks to have the vote, who fought against it, tooth and nail. I mean, man, it was in their party platform throughout, from emancipation, which they opposed, by the way, through the 60s. The Democrats opposed the idea of allowing blacks to vote in this country. But when they saw they were losing, they switched tactics and decided they would work to own the votes of the black community. And they have been so successful, they think they own that vote now. And they did this by buying their votes with government handouts. They did it by turning the blame for their own oppression of blacks against their political opponents, lying to the black community. And how they do that? They corrupted black leadership by buying them. Oh yeah. And God hearing my prayers, all of this is going to come out into the open. You know, how they bought Sharpton and Jackson. These men destroyed the great legacy of Martin Luther King. They have sold out to white Democrats. They bought into the idea that blacks needed handouts from government. They saw that cash cow and latched on it to its nipple. The Democrats are clever devils, very wily, just like their father, the devil. They bought black leaders, religious and political, and used them to lead generations of black families into venting anger against slavery, not against the slave party, but against the party of emancipation and freedom, by making it out that being against policies that create generational dependence meant they were against the color of someone's skin. It's a lie. It's about treating all men with respect and appreciating the equality of all and helping people work to earn their way. The Trump formula versus the Biden-Johnson formula. The Trump formula lifts all men to their feet and helps them move forward with dignity and honor. The Biden, Pelosi, Johnson, etc. formula encourages blacks to believe conservative whites owe them a living because they've oppressed them. When the truth is, it's the liberal whites that are oppressing them. Lies, just like their father, the devil. And when you look deeper into this perpetuation of racial hatred, it's coming from Marxist socialists who are right now using this lie to instigate a revolution in this country, intending to overturn the Constitution, to eliminate the protections of our inalienable rights, so that a small group of elites can take control of our everyday lives, and then control information. And so that political correctness becomes state correctness, you know? So that while now social pressure is used to police political correctness, then the state will use its full power to enforce political correctness. And in fact, that's already happening. There are hundreds of examples. One more recent one. A law in Ohio has been passed that requires those officiating marriages to provide their services to same-sex couples regardless of that person's personal beliefs and religious convictions. Why don't the homosexuals get their own officials to perform their weddings? But you see, the point is to force their immoral views on everyone else. The state cannot enforce such policies without violating the inalienable rights of others. And you've heard me say it before. All inalienable rights are equally shared by all. Anybody who asserts a right that requires the violation of someone else's inalienable right is asserting something that is not a right at all. The Constitution is in their way. It's an impediment to them. They want to bring it down. And that's what this is about. And blacks and homosexuals are tools in the hands of these unreasonable and wicked people who want to destroy our liberties. Mark my words. Once they succeed, my friend, no one's liberty will be safe. Freedom will be gone from the earth. Anyway, I need to take a short break. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware.
Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern light. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. In the last segment, I mentioned that the Democrat Party is the party of accusation. Have you noticed that? All those people do is accuse, constantly. They attack with accusations. You cannot have a discussion with these people or even a genuine conversation with them because all they want to do is, well, accuse. He said accusingly, but I'm going to support my accusation. You might have noticed that lefty types are showing up on your social media, making their accusations. It's usually a sort of hit and run, or as Rush would put it, drive-by shooting. They throw an accusation in there and then disappear. Now, I see it all the time when I'm looking at a string of comments. When Trump is speaking, there will be 20 successive positive comments, and then suddenly a lefty jumps in there with some accusation against Trump or his supporters. Usually something like, yeah, right, the liar in chief. Or it'll be, well, there he goes again talking about himself. Or supporting Trump is supporting racism or something like that. And then if you jump on it and reply with something like, in a friendly way, please provide an example of Trump's racism. Usually they won't respond, but if they do, it'll be something like, another Trump lover racist. In other words, accusations. That's it. That's all they know how to do. No conversation. I told you about this guy who attacked a friend's post about BLM. Pointing out that it's a cover for advancing a Marxist agenda. Well, the guy mocked my friend in a demeaning and condescending tone, derided him, saying, you know, snark, 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 BLM is about Black Lives Matter. You idiot. I mean, he might as well have said, sarcastically dismissing my friend's comment as conspiratorial and suggesting he did not care about cops killing blacks. That leaders of the movement have said all the movement is about is to advance the peace and safety of black people. So, I jumped in, and I made a statement to the effect, yeah, and Stalin said, a chicken for every pot. So, being against Stalin means you are against people getting food. Being against BLM is not being against the truth that Black Lives Matter. So, let's not talk about the 20 million that Stalin murdered. You know, if you notice, you look through history, you cannot find anything where Stalin put out a slogan that said, vote red, 20 million Russians dead, right? You never see a slogan used by socialists or communists that says something like, vote red or be dead. I rebuked the guy. I called him out. I said, no one supports cops murdering people. And I said, furthermore, you know that, I told this guy. You know that we don't support cops murdering people, no matter what their skin pigmentation. So how about we stop with the baseless accusations and let's have a real conversation. Well, he didn't answer me, but he continued his attack on my friend. So my friend politely brings out the fact that in the purpose statement of the BLM leadership, they declare as their number one goal, the end of the nuclear family. They declare the nuclear family is a racist construction created by whites and organized to perpetrate oppression. My friend gave a link to the BLM document that declares this, that proves it. Well, that lefty responded by attacking my friend for his position on healthcare. Yeah, healthcare. That became the focus now. Change subjects. And again, it was an attack, an accusation that he did not care about people's access to healthcare. Always accusing, accusing, accusing. I weighed in again. I told the guy effectively, hey, you did not respond to the purpose statement of the BLM. My friend did likewise. And this guy refuses to address the point. He will not have a conversation. All he wants to do is to attack with accusations. You've got to understand that we have not been able to have a genuine conversation with the left in this country for at least, what, four decades or something like that. And it's gotten worse since Obama became president. And now that Trump's president, it is absolutely impossible. With Trump in office, these people have gone hysterical. And it's nonstop, my friend, nonstop attacks with unfounded accusations 24/7. If you attempt to engage them in a conversation, be prepared to be attacked with outrageous accusations. Lately, a black lady accused me of being a slave owner because I'm white. The temptation is to attack back, but you need to resist the temptation. As soon as they get you going back and forth with attacks, well, you've lost. And I know it might seem weird to you, but the truth is they've won and they know it instinctively because in that scenario, they never have to prove their allegations. They can just throw them at you, mudslinging, one after the other. And they end up taking complete control of the conversation. And I'm going to tell you what right now, you will not want to stoop as low as they will go. And so they're going to outdo you in the attack with outrageous, unfounded allegations. So here's what you're going to have to do. You say, hey, You don't get to attack me with some unfounded statement. Prove what you just said about me. Then wait till they respond. Make them prove their allegation. And here's what will happen. They're going to call you names and disappear. But maybe, just maybe, you'll find some that will actually enter into a conversation with you. And like Daryl, you might win some. From the last segment, you remember, I do encourage you then to enter into conversations with liberals. But remember the rules of engagement. One topic at a time. Honesty, humility, throw in some holiness in there. How about some purity in language? We don't need to use foul language to make our point, and we don't need to become hateful. Now, that doesn't mean we don't hold them to account, and it doesn't mean we don't reprove them, even roundly sometimes when they throw out a baseless accusation and refuse to accept responsibility for what they've said and provide real evidence supporting their outrageous statements. By all means, hold them to account. But let's do it with dignity and grace. All you need to do to totally destroy their argument is present well-reasoned statements and challenge them to prove theirs. You know, hey, I asked you for your opinion on a statement made by BLM leaders, and you have responded by changing the subjects. Well, you don't get to do that. You don't get to throw out an accusation without defending it, or just change the subject without an honest response to a legitimate point or question. You know, can we have a grown-up conversation here? That kind of thing. Essentially, you hold them accountable for their statements. I mean, you know, stuff like you just said, I don't care about cops murdering people. How dare you? That's an insulting accusation. In order for us to have an honest conversation, I'm going to require you to apologize for such rude and ill-mannered behavior. Or use what I call clarifying questions. Did you actually mean to say that I don't care about black people? And follow this up with something like, based on what you just said, I accuse you of being rude and impolite. Do I have a basis for that accusation? And you get the idea. We are not in a conversation with liberals today. We need to understand that we are at war. It's a rhetorical war, unfortunately, that is fast devolving or degrading into physical aggression. And the preface immediately to that is tit for tat, screaming at one another accusations. Let's not feed the fires of violence. One way to do that is to engage their conscience. When they behave badly, point it out. Not by screaming at them about what jerks they are, but by clearly and plainly pointing it out, like I illustrated earlier. But you must understand, they accuse in order to weaken their opponents socially and isolate them socially and intimidate them personally. And then they move in for the kill. And that actually leads to a literal application in socialist takeovers. The accusation party is at it again, pulling a Kavanaugh on Tucker and other conservatives at Fox. The case against Tucker is already falling apart. The Democrats are the party of accusations, but they run away from any conversation that requires them to support their accusations with more than superficial and supercilious anecdotes, and more often, not even that. I mean, it's gotten so they just want to say, Trump's a liar, and walk away. If you say, oh, wait a minute here, really? Tell me about one. Just one. I just want to know about one. Talk to me about one. Name it. Name a lie that Trump told. They will almost always change the subject or accuse you of being a Trump-loving liar yourself. If they actually offer something, then you have a basis for conversation and you can respond. All right, I got to wrap it up, but quickly. In the modern liberalism destroys everything it touches department, and unfortunately I don't have time to get into this one, other than to mention to you that a language professor has come out and said grammar is racist now. Yeah, so there goes grammar. Spelling takes a hit too. AP, Associated Press, decided on a new spelling policy. The word black will be capitalized when using it in reference to race, but the word white will not. Okay, the reason? Well, it's going to help address systemic inequality. Yeah, I kid you not. So now spelling has been impacted by the lies about race. This is supposed to bother us. All it tells me is that these people are foolish. And it provokes in me nothing but disrespect for how easily controlled they are by these stupid lies. Anyway, the problem is, however, it's actually a symptom of something deeper and more sinister. You might remember a show I did a while back where I explained that the current so-called social justice mantra, it's coming from a desire for revenge. It has nothing to do with justice. Now, I don't have time to look up what show that was, but you can go to brainmassage.net and search for vengeance or social justice or race on that site. Anyway, I showed that it's all about vengeance. When that black man put his knee on the neck of that white baby, while his friend was holding the baby's arm behind its back as if to cuff the child, and then the guy's girlfriend, who is the mother of that baby, was watching all of this go on. And then someone was making the video of it all. You see, this is what vengeance does to the soul. It warps it. Now, happily, that guy got arrested. I hope that mother does too. The activists pushing this racial hatred are advocating for role reversal. They want the whites to be treated like the blacks were treated during slavery. That's not justice. That is vengeance, distorting the souls of these people into becoming the very thing they say they hate. Racist bigots who want to judge others on the basis of their skin color alone. Not on the basis of anything they did, because no one alive in America ever owned a slave. Not on the basis of character or deeds done, as Martin Luther King beseeched us, you know, to judge a man by the content of his character, not the color of his skin. You know, but here you have a full-grown black adult kneeling on the neck of a white baby to make some kind of really perverse point. Do you see how vengeance is distorting the souls of so many in America today? Now, you know, Pelosi has led the charge to remove everything from the Hill that is associated with the history of slavery in America's past. You heard about that, right? Well, I don't think Ms. Gotta pass the bill before you can know what's in it. Thought that through. Representative Gohmert presented a resolution to remove the Democrat Party from the Hill. Well, I mean, I'm being somewhat facetious, but yeah. He cited the plethora of evidence supporting the fact that the Democrats have supported slavery historically and opposed every effort to free the slaves and opposed extending equal rights to them after they were freed. I mean, the Democrats were against the capital B blacks in this country even having the privilege to vote. So Gohmert suggests an honest application of the law the Dems advanced on the Hill would require them to either change their name or leave the Hill. Well, hooray for that veto, former Texas representative rants against Texas Governor Abbott for opening his state. He says the governor wants capital B blacks and capital L Latinos to die. He didn't use the expression capital B or capital L, I know, making a point. He wants this. Yeah, Texas Governor Abbott wants people to die. That's what he wants. In fact, according to Beto, all those lowercase white devils want all capital B blacks and capital L Latinos to die. Huh. Well, let's see now. He is a lowercase W white who is a member of the capital D Democrat Party, the only political party in America that defended slavery and opposed civil rights. So who wants people to die? Well, if not wearing a mask means you're going to die or make some of others die, how do you explain a new law in Washington, D.C. that requires everyone to wear masks except lawmakers and government employees? That's something to think about. And no, that's not it. Come on. It's because the elites are exempted from these stupid laws because they know they're stupid laws and because they consider themselves above the hoi polloi. You don't know what that means? It's a Greek expression. It means the people or the masses, you know? You don't mess with the masses of the masses, man. So who wants people to die? How about liberals who refuse to admit Trump was right about hydroxychloroquine? Yeah, here's a headline. You'll appreciate it. By the way, coming out of Yale, breaking report. Yale epidemiologist says hydroxychloroquine could save 100,000 lives if widely deployed, and the media are silent. I know, I gotta go. Oh, but wait, here you go. Biden is under formal criminal investigation in Ukraine. Huh? This. BLM Antifa in Portland have presented their demands. You gotta read them. Cruz wants to empower citizens whose lives and property were destroyed by rioters in cities where officials did not do their duty and protect them. Yeah, like that Democrat lawyer in Portland who is saying the riots are not out of control. Some people just have strong feelings. And yeah, well, I gotta go. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Lights on if you agree. Lights off if you disagree. Call 1-805-314-2114 or go to godswar2020.com. and contact us from our website there. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Go to godswar2020.com. Join the Lighthouse Congregation for Dr. Scheidbach's series, Kingdom Power by Prayer and Fasting, Wednesday evenings from 7 to 7:45 p.m. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.